Hey folks, Nate Buchady from the Heart and Goal podcast here, and we're getting excited for the World Cup. And one of the great ways to be a part of it is the FIFA Fan Fest. The best way to get yourself involved is go to kc2026.com. You can get all the details and register right there. Live acts, entertainments, watch parties, connecting with the world's game. It's the FIFA 2026 Fan Fest right here in Kansas City. Hello, Kansas City. Hello, America. And hello to the world. Welcome to another edition of the Heart and Goal podcast. My name is Nate Buchady. I am joined by my co-host, Benny Failhaber. What's up, Benny?
I'm excited to be here. I'm looking through these groups in the World Cup, which we're going to be picking soon. It's like, what, 2-3 weeks away, it feels like, right? It's right around the corner, and I'm getting excited. I was trying to talk to my kids yesterday about how exciting this thing is going to be. And I don't think I did it justice. I was like over the top, but still not enough, if that makes sense.
It's almost impossible to put it into words. I think even for grownups like us, because this is going to be the first time it ever comes to Kansas City. And it is getting so close that you can taste it. So on the show today, we are going to be joined by Mallory Cage, who is the director of Fan Festival and Events for KC 2026. We're going to dive into Fan Fest and what's going on.
And I think this is a big one for a lot of fans that aren't going to go to games, right? Games are expensive. They're not always possible to go to, right? To go to the venue. And I think the Fan Fest will serve as a fantastic alternative to actually going to the game and being absorbed by what the World Cup provides in terms of the excitement of the game, the competitiveness of the tournament, the people, right, the cultures, the fanfare, the musical talents and food and everything else that's going to go into it. I think it's going to be a fantastic environment to be a part of. And so I suggest for a lot of the local fans that want to be a part of the World Cup and get to really, you know, enthrall themselves in the excitement to listen up, find out how this will fit into their game plan throughout the month of June and July. And I think there's going to be a lot of positive things in this podcast.
We'll get to all those details with Mallory in a little bit. A couple of orders of business, because we are going to pick we're going to go through our brackets and start a little bracket contest, get you ready for some of the games. And we'll do a five-a-side as well about the musical acts that are coming to Fan Fest as well. We want you to make sure that we get the word out about this podcast, and we want people to go back and listen to the previous episodes, watch the previous episodes, because there's all sorts of great information to get you ready for this World Cup, and it still holds up. It's all evergreen content. So go back and watch the previous episodes if you haven't. Help us get the word out to everybody about this. I've had a lot of people tell me, man, I'm trying to get into this World Cup. I don't know where to get my content, my information. This is the perfect place. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, write a review, do the things that can help us make sure that people understand that the podcast is here and it's Heart and Goal. We're going to talk about the Fan Fest. We're going to have the huge heart in the middle of the lawn there, because that's what Kansas City is all about. This is the heart of America. We have a big heart here. We're proud of this town. And Goal is a soccer. It's a play on words about soccer. So that's how we came up with the name of the show. And I also want to make sure that we thank our new sponsor, Sporting Kansas City, has jumped on board to support the Heart and Goal podcast. So, by the way, Fan Fest, the epicenter of all of the celebrations when it comes to soccer, but this World Cup is going to spread out all the way across the metropolitan area. And Sporting Kansas City has announced their Summer of Soccer lineup. They're going to have all kinds of great events, their own watch parties on dates that are different than the ones that are at the Fan Fest. So make sure that you check those out as well. There's going to be a great, I mean, they've got the plaza that's on the west side of the stadium with a huge new video board they've put up. They're going
to have. I went to the stadium, actually. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, but I went to the stadium for their game against the Galaxy, and I was in awe at the size of that thing in the plaza there at the stadium. So another great place to enjoy what the World Cup's going to bring.
And I will go ahead and say, if not for Sporting Kansas City, what your group of teammates did To put soccer on the map in Kansas City. The World Cup is not coming here right now. So thank you very much to Sporting Kansas City for jumping on board with the Heart and Goal podcast. All right, you ready to do a little bracket?
Let's go.
Okay.
Go.
All right, the way that the World Cup, just to kind of lay it out there for people again, some of you know, some of you don't, this is going to be the biggest World Cup in the history of the World Cup. 48 teams divided into four team groups. And the top two teams from every group will advance. The third place team from eight of the 12 groups will advance as well, which means you really should advance if into the knockout rounds. We're going to go by the groups here and pick our groups, okay? Are you ready, Benny, for Group A?
I am ready.
Mexico, and they kick off against South Africa, Korea, and the Czech Republic. What order do you have those four teams finish?
I suggest we do this. I do Group A first, okay. Then you tell me yours, and then you do Group B first.
Perfect.
Is that fair?
Yep.
All right, Group A for me. I'm going to go bottom to top.
Okay.
So in fourth place, I'm going to go with South Africa.
Yep.
In third place, I'm going to go with another South, Korea. I'm going to go with Mexico in second place and Czech Republic in first.
Okay, I this is good because I'm going to be a little different. I will say South Africa in fourth place, but I'm going to say Czech Republic in third, South Korea second, and I'm taking the host country, Mexico. I'm counting on the little boost that you get playing in the Azteca at altitude. I think will be an advantage for them. So I'll take Mexico to win the group. All right, on to Group B. This is another host country, Canada, involved. Bosnia, Herzegovina, Qatar, and Switzerland. I am going to take Canada to win the group as well. I'm going to go with the home country bump. I will take Switzerland second. I will take Bosnia, Herzegovina third, and Qatar fourth.
So we have the exact same other than I put Switzerland and Bosnia ahead of Canada. So I got Switzerland one, Bosnia two, Canada in third, Qatar in fourth.
That's actually quite a big difference, though, because I've got them first. You got them all the way down in third. We'll see if you have them advancing as one of those third-place teams here in a little bit. All right, you get to go with
Group C. Group C, we're going to go from bottom to top again. I'm going to get Haiti. I think it is it their first time?
Not their first time.
Long
first time,
time
since
then.
The 1970s.
Okay, long time since they've been in the World Cup. I don't know if they fare too well. But they're going to be a fun story to follow, but I do think they finished last in the group. I think Scotland in third, and I think my country, how do you say it when you're born?
Your native country?
Your native country. They're going to finish second.
Wow, you got Morocco over Brazil.
I got Morocco in first. I think Morocco is a better team, at least the last I've seen of Morocco, whether it's in the World Cup 4 years ago or in the African Cup of Nations or in qualifying. I just think Morocco is a very difficult team. They're very athletic. They've got some talent. And I don't think this is the best Brazil we've seen in a long time. So I'm gonna have Brazil finishing in second.
I think that's actually a great shout. I think Morocco is one of the best dark horses in this tournament. They are really, really good, and I can see them making a deep run. Neymar just got injured recently as well, again, after getting named to the Brazilian roster.
Did he really?
Yeah.
What,
and I
yesterday?
Don't think
they played yesterday.
Yeah.
In Sudamericana.
At the time that we're recording this, but yeah, he picked up an injury again. So,
oh, right.
But I don't think he's key to their – I don't think he's key to what they do at this point in his career.
Well, Neymar is most likely going to be a super sub in moments of need. So I think he comes in if there's a game that's tied, they need to win or something like that, or if they're losing. I don't know if he's a guy that comes in when they're up. Other than being up by, you know, two or three goals to give him some minutes in terms of like he's one of the top players of all time in Brazilian history. At least that's the thought right there. But so I think he'll get some minutes. I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know if he's like a massive aspect of the roster.
I do think they have the best defender in the world in Gabriel right now.
That doesn't sound biased.
English Premier League champion, the way. So I'm taking Brazil. I'll go Morocco second. I really hope Scotland is a third place team that can advance.
I have to go back one. I'm not even sure if Gabriel is going to start on the national team. Not that I would. I agree he should start, but I don't know if he does. You know, Marquinhos is going to start. We're going on a tangent here, but Marquinhos and my guess is Militao starts from Real Madrid if he's on the team.
I don't even know if Gabriel doesn't start, then I hope they don't finish first. How about that? That's ridiculous. Okay, Group D. I'll start with Group D now.
I wonder who's number one for you. Every host is number one, huh?
Yeah. yes. I'm going with the host country again. United States, number one. Turkey, number two. I think that Turkey does have a chance to win that group. I'll go with Paraguay third and Australia fourth.
We were so close to getting the same.
You're taking Australia over Paraguay?
I am taking Paraguay number four, Australia three, Turkey number two. And I agree with you. I think the U.S. finishes in first place in this group.
This group is tricky, though. I do think it's a trickier group than it appears. And that first game for the United States versus Paraguay,
it's like a trap group?
Incredible.
You think it's a little bit of a trap group?
A little bit. Yeah, like none of these teams are great, but all of them are dangerous.
Look, when I used to play on the national team, and I think the history before I played was always that we would play up to the opponent, the level of the opponent.
Yeah.
So better teams, we tended to play better. Lesser teams, we tended to not play as well. So if that's the case, then I agree. It could be a trap group, but I think the U.S. is the best team. And of course, the home field advantage, I think, plays a massive part.
Okay, so Group E, you get to go first.
Group E, all right. I didn't write it down, but I got it right here. I'm going to go with Curaçao, the first ever debut nation, is going to finish in fourth. I think that the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire, will finish in third. I'm going to go with a little bit of a curveball. I'm going to go Germany, numero dos.
Wow.
Zwei for Germany, and numero uno for the Ecuadorians, who did really well in qualifying. Although they do have difficult games when they play at home because of altitude, they won't have that luxury, but I'm going to go with them number one.
I'm trying to think. Caicedo is one of the best players for
Caicedo,
Ecuador.
Yep. I don't know if Eder Valencia.
Bombastic midfielder who can get himself a red card every once in a while.
Yeah, but he covers so much ground, right?
And he's a great player.
I don't know if Eder Valencia is still playing. He was still playing at a pretty high level in the Brazilian league, but he's like a natural born goal scorer if he's on that team.
That's an aggressive pick. I'm going more chalk. I'm saying Germany, then Ecuador, then Cote d'Ivoire, then Curaçao.
Okay.
Okay. Group F is my turn. We have the Netherlands, Japan, Sweden, and Tunisia. Listen, the Dutch are playing here in town, and as my buddy James Noble used to always tell me, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. That's his. that was always his. Motto. I'm taking the Netherlands first. I'm taking Japan second, then Sweden and Tunisia fourth.
Hey, we agree.
We're on the same.
We're down the line. One, two, three, four, right? Okay. Netherlands, Japan, Sweden, Tunisia.
Boom. All right.
I'm there with you.
You're on to Group G, brother.
And I got down the line again. So up to bottom or bottom to top, New Zealand four, Iran three, Egypt two, Belgium one.
The only thing for me that's going to change is I'm going to say New Zealand 3 and Iran 4.
Ooh, I don't think you know much football. I think New Zealand could conceivably be one of the weakest teams in the entire tournament.
Well,
we're going to have a conversation.
We'll
either I'm right or you're right on this one.
I just wonder about some of the issues that Iran might have overall. I don't know.
I don't know, but that might be the adversity,
that could be a chip
right?
on their shoulder, 100%. Sometimes we see teams go out and play because their country's going through something and play hard. So you could be totally right there. I think this is, for my money, the weakest group of all of them. Belgium is a really good team. I kind of think they become known as underperformers at the World Cup, considering their talent.
Right.
They are far and away the best team in that group, in my opinion. There's a pretty big drop-off after that.
Yep.
Okay, Group H. You've got, it's my turn to go first,
No,
right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, Cabo Verde, and that's one of the teams that's making their
World Cup debut,
small island nation, and Spain. I think that the top two teams in this are clearly Spain and Uruguay. I will take them one and two. I'll go Saudi Arabia three, Cabo Verde, the newcomers four.
I think I got the same thing. I was already going on to Group I, but Cabo Verde four, Saudi Arabia three, Uruguay two, Spain one.
Yep. Uruguay, for those that don't know, one of eight countries that has actually won the World Cup. They've won it twice. Now, it was way back in the early days of the World Cup, but they are known as a country that punches above their weight.
One of the biggest upsets in World Cup history was 1950 final in Maracanã Stadium in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Back then, Brazil was the favorite or higher seeded. All they needed was a draw in the finals. They were up 1-0 at halftime, lost 2-1 to Uruguay in the finals. So one of the biggest upsets in World Cup finals
and
history.
They made it to a semifinal not long ago. Was that in South Africa?
That one hurt a little. Yeah, we should have played it instead of Ghana, but
yeah.
we lost to Ghana. Ghana lost to them after the Suarez handball. They kept it at 0-0, and then they missed the penalty, and then they went to penalties, and Uruguay won and then went to the semis and lost to, I believe it was the Netherlands.
So Uruguay is always a dangerous team, even though they're not as big of a country as some of the others.
And coached by Marcelo Bielsa, too. So you never know what you're going to get from them.
And Spain considered to have one of the top two or three rosters, probably.
I think they're the favorites in terms of odds, betting odds. I think Spain are the favorite to win the whole thing.
And young Lamine Yamal, the teenager, is captivating the world. He'll probably, if he's healthy, be one of the biggest stars in this World Cup, so watch out for that. Okay, Group I, you go first.
Okay, this one was tough for the 1 and 2. I went with Iraq as 4, Senegal 3, but Norway's had one hell of a qualifying to the World Cup, and I think France is one of the favorites, but I went with Norway 2 and France 1.
You and I, we're in lockstep on this one. I think France, for my money, has the best roster in the world. I actually almost think it's not even close. They're just loaded almost everywhere. And they have like the perfect player for each position almost. But they can be kind of French sometimes. You know,
They got some attitude?
Can have some attitude.
Well, they had a problem in 2010. There was like a bunch of strikes going on and like.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
They didn't make it out of group play.
Remember 2002, I believe. Was it 2002 they didn't make it out of group play right after winning the World Cup the year before?
The first game was that game that they lost to, was it the Ivory Coast?
They got a red card. I think one of the best players on the team got a red card. I can't remember who. In the final one time, their best player got a red card for headbutting somebody. Yeah. They can wow you by being the best team of the world, and then they can just do something that makes you go, "What? Why did they do that?"
Hot and cold.
But I think they win that group. Norway has low key one of the most talented rosters in terms of like if you're gonna say like second tier teams, right? Because like
I just think they have such a talented roster for what they normally produce. They're like the golden generation of Norway, and so can they put it all together and actually show up.
Yeah, you're used to seeing a country like Norway have two or three star player or good players.
Right.
They have maybe the best striker in the world in Erling Haaland, and that's not it. Like if you look at the rest of their roster, it's all guys that are playing at big clubs on like the top five leagues. Martin Odegaard, one of those players for sure. So I think they're a dark horse to watch. Okay, Group J. This is a group that's very closely related to Kansas City. You're going to see three of these teams playing in Kansas City at least. Argentina, Algeria, Austria, and Jordan. If we're going reverse order, I'm going to take Jordan fourth. They're debutantes for the World Cup. Austria third. Actually, I beg your pardon. I had Algeria third, Austria second, Argentina first.
I'm with you. I got the exact same lineup.
I think the Algeria-Austria thing could be a flip of a coin.
Yep.
All right, you get to go Group J then.
All right, Group K.
I'm sorry, Group K.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Uzbekis as the fourth place finisher.
Can I pause real quick? I'm sorry, before we do that, just a quick thought on Group J.
Okay. Group J, we're back to
Argentina. Yeah, because we got Argentina going first, and we've talked about the possibility that they could play a quarterfinal in Kansas City if they make it that far. I've talked to some of my buddies that are Argentinian journalists. They're not as optimistic.
That they'll finish first in the group?
No, that they'll make a deep run in the World Cup this time around. They are the defending champs.
Right.
When you look at them right now, do they still deserve to be one of the favorites for this World Cup? Or are you a little, they're a little bit older. Messi's 4 years older, all those types of things. What do you think of Argentina overall?
I think they got a good chance to repeat.
I do too.
I think the chip's off the shoulder, right? There is not chip off the shoulder. The monkey's off the back is what I should say.
Yeah, the pressure's kind of gone.
The monkey's off the back. Messi is, I mean, for a lot of people, it's never going to be everybody, but the greatest of all time, right? He's surpassed, I think, almost, I don't know how many Argentinians will say he surpassed the Maradona, like, ghost almost, right? They're the shadow of Maradona, but he's brought them a World Cup trophy. He's done unbelievable things at the club level, and he also has like a weird edge to him now that he didn't used to have, right? I think it started developing during that run in the 2018 or 2022 World Cup and maybe a little bit before, but we see it weekly now in MLS. And so I don't know. I think that team has got a little bit of, oh, nobody believes in us now. We're the champs. Like, what's wrong? I think they do go on a deep run. Look, once it gets to the quarters and the semis, it becomes a little bit of a coin flip. If they play France or if they play a Portugal, if they play, you know, one of the other top teams, even a U.S. sometimes where you're playing one of the local teams, you don't know what's exactly going to happen. But I guess I'd put my money on Argentina playing Mexico because they seem to always play in the knockout rounds. And God bless Mexico. They never, you know, can beat Argentina. So I do think they make a deep run and they have as good a chance as most of the top teams to win it all.
Okay. All right. Now go back on to Group K.
Okay. So I got Uzbekistan in fourth. Mm-hmm. I think Congo is going to do something special. So I'm going to throw them in two. I'm going to go Colombia three and Portugal one. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a little bit of a heart one because I'd love to see Argentina and Portugal meet up here in Kansas City in the quarters.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to keep Portugal 1, Congo 2, the Democratic Republic of Congo 2, Colombia 3, and Uzbekistan 4.
Uzbekistan also debutants, making their first appearance in the World Cup. My only difference with you is that I'm going to say Colombia 2 and Congo 3. I think Colombia's got a pretty good roster. I think Portugal, hands down, the best, though, team in that group. And I'm with you. I want to see them taking on Argentina in that quarterfinal, be the most epic game. And by the way, Portugal's great, not really solely because of Cristiano Ronaldo at this point.
I don't think Ronaldo's going to be the starter anymore.
I hope he's not for their sake.
I don't think he's going
bring
to
him
be,
in late in games, let him score some goals. I think
but
he'd
they
be
have
for
a
that.
Phenomenal roster as well,
yeah,
like you said.
They're loaded. They got some midfielders that can really play. Okay, last one. Group L, it's England, Croatia, Ghana, and Panama. If I'm going in reverse order, I'm going to say Panama fourth, Ghana third, Croatia second. Croatia's a perennial overachiever, but that's always been because of Luka Modric, who probably is going to still be great. I don't know, at 40 years old. But he is in his 40s now, I believe. And England's far and away the best team in that group, so they win the group.
I got the same four for that.
Okay, so now the last thing we need to do is
pick
our eight three seeds that will advance. I've got mine. You want me to go first while you're doing yours?
Let me ask you this. Did you pick it just based on who you think is good, or did you look at the matchups?
No, I'm not looking at the matchups. Okay. I'm just looking at who I think are the best.
That's fair.
And then one pick is completely with my heart instead of my head. So I'm going to say the Czech Republic. I had them as a third place team. I'm going to say Scotland because I just really, really want them to advance. I'm going to say Paraguay. As I said, I think they're a very, very scrappy team. Sweden, Senegal, Algeria, the Republic of Congo, and Ghana. Okay. Are going to be my eight third place teams.
I can't tell you that I heard every single one you said going through here. So I got South Korea in Group A as a third place finisher going through. Canada in Group B going through as a third place. Scotland in Group C going through. I don't think Australia makes it. I think Ivory Coast makes it as the third place finisher in E. Sweden in F makes it through. Iran does not make it through. Saudi Arabia does not make it through. Senegal does. Algeria does not, Colombia makes it, and Ghana makes it. I might have made that more confusing than it was, but those are the eight.
We've just told you who we think is going to advance to the knockout rounds, which is a round of 32 in this upcoming World Cup. We are now going to shift our attention back
but first,
to the
but first, okay, but okay, first, all right. I'm going to just throw this little curveball. Yeah, sure, yeah. Last second. Give me your champion. Your second place and your third place finisher.
Man, when I filled out the bracket, I just kind of went by matchups, and I ended up with Spain winning the whole thing.
Okay.
And I feel okay about that.
So you went with chalk is what you're telling me.
I mean, like I told you, I think France has the best roster.
Did they lose in the finals?
I've got them in the semifinals, so playing in the third place game.
Let's say they win the third place game, and who did you have in the
finals? I believe I had Spain versus Argentina.
Okay.
In the championship. In the cup final.
I'm gonna go with France.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if this is all possible, right? But I'm just gonna go France to win it all. I'm gonna go with Portugal as a second place finish. England as the third place finishers.
Okay. Those are all teams that are good enough to win it, I think. There's a certain group of teams you think they have a legit shot to win the World Cup, and those are all in that group. Okay, so now we've talked brackets. We're going to shift to parties. The Fan Fest is coming your way, and we're going to break that down with Mallory Cage as we are continuing with the Heart and Goal podcast. This summer, Sporting KC is inviting Kansas City to experience Soccer Capital Summer at Sporting Park. Enjoy free watch parties, concerts, live entertainment, and performances from Third Eye Blind, Gym Class Heroes, Logan Mize, Coco and Breezy, and more all summer long. Get tickets now at SoccerCapitalSummer.com. We are really excited for our next guest on the show, Mallory Cage, Director of Fan Festival and Events for KC 2026. I want to make sure I get the title right. Mallory, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm fantastic. We're just a few weeks out, so energy's high.
Now, what happens to your heart rate, to your, I don't know, your digestive system, all that stuff, when you start to realize we're, what you just said, just a few weeks away now?
We are in that phase where now it's exciting. I'm at the point where we're ready to go. I'm ready to get this rolling. The grounds are looking fantastic up there at the National World War One Museum Memorial, and I just can't wait for everyone else to experience it. We're kind of past the deep planning mode and ready to roll.
Has most of the work already been done, and now it's kind of like putting it in place, or is there still tons to do?
There'll be adjustments made, you know, as we get out there. Once you start dealing with people and the actual grounds, we'll make some changes. But for the most part, it's truly like it's designed, it's ready, and now we're just kind of making those small tweaks. And this is my favorite part, the execution, bringing it to life and really showing off.
I love this like relaxed, excited attitude, because I'm thinking of when we're about to have a big gathering at my house, the closer we get, my wife is all of a sudden like vacuuming very furiously around the house and shouting, and I'm putting things away.
And you guys are yelling at each other?
Yeah, we're the tension rises, you know, in the house. But you guys are, you're just excited and things are moving along.
Yeah. I mean, you might find me vacuuming the stage at 4 a.m. or something the day of, just cause you know, it's time, yeah, but no, yeah. We've got fantastic partners, an incredible team. We've got great people coming. So it is, I feel very confident in going on right now.
Maybe a more, a better metaphor then is a little bit of coaching's like that, right? Where you're planning for the event, you're planning for the game tactically, you're getting everybody ready. Match day minus one, you kind of sit back and you're like, you've done everything you have to do. Now the players got to go do their jobs and everybody's got to set up the right way. And so there's the managing part as well.
Yes.
But the planning is done. You guys know what you got ahead of you.
Yes. And we embrace the duck model on the surface, calm and cool. Right. Under the water, though, we're paddling. We are paddling.
Everybody's paddling furiously, and no doubt. Well, listen, I think back to when the bid process was happening and talking to some of the folks that were in charge of bringing the FIFA executives in to go on the site visits. And I remember at that time that one of the three different factions of the site visits was a group of people to go check out FanFest locations. And I remember there were more than one that were being considered at that time. But the World War One Museum and Memorial's where it ends up. I always felt like that was the most natural and obvious, but can you take us through the process of how it landed there and why?
Yeah, so it started well before I was hired on. As you mentioned, part of the bid process was evaluating locations, providing ideas. The National World War One really rose to the top. It's become the center of Kansas City for celebrations, from the Royals Parade to Stars and Stripes. And this weekend, they've got a celebration at the station, or at Memorial Day weekend, apologies. And it's one of those things that in Kansas City, you see it every time we're on TV. And so it's become that spot that we want folks to remember when they come together. So it's fantastic from the south side where we're setting up. It's fairly flat. Where we can put everything, so it really allows us to expand. We've got one of the largest footprints of fan festivals in the country, so excited about everything that we get to do because of that. And it's designed well. Safety and security is paramount for us, and they've done a great job up there with their camera systems, the places, things they have in place to help us kind of support that model along the way.
Yeah, I'm curious if you could touch on that a little bit more. So there's a massive area there, right? A lot of grass. And I could see a picture here of what it might look like. What's it going to look like? What are the amenities going to be? The stage, the screen, the size of the screen, how many people can it hold? Like, give us a little bit of a sense of what that'll look like, because I'm really excited. I think I mentioned this to you before we got on the air, where I have three kids, I have a family, and I want to be able to show them what the World Cup looks like. I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring them to a game because the games are pretty expensive. And so being able to bring them to a fan fest and having the experience be there is going to be what I'm going to look for. So what will that look like for a family that goes, or a couple, or a fans from Argentina and wherever else?
Yeah, so we've really designed it exactly as you mentioned, to have different pockets of places where you can engage the way you want. So we're taking over the entire south side. It's going to be a fully fenced area, so you'll come in. We've got a main stage, which people have probably seen a lot of images of. It's about 4,200 square feet of LED. So I don't know, that's bigger than every house I've ever owned, probably put together. But lots of LED boards to catch it on the main screen. We've got delay towers all the way down. So if you don't want to be right up front, you can watch from a little bit further back. We're also building a huge shade structure over on the east side on the large lawn over there. So folks that maybe bring their families, we call them kind of the soccer curious, that want to see what's going on, have a chance to kind of relax a little bit and enjoy the environment as well. So there's going to be, we've really designed it so no matter where you are on the site, you can see a screen. It is, at its heart, it's a viewing party. It's to watch the World Cup matches and to celebrate that. But we also have a huge lineup of entertainment. We've really focused on the Kansas City art scene and how we can kind of bring that to life and show off a little bit there. This is the first time FIFA has ever allowed local restaurants to participate. So we're working with FIFA on how we can get some of those folks out there to really highlight our cuisine and show off what's going on. But then there'll be other pop-up entertainment as well that we're working on with some of our sports teams and some of the local groups in town. So our goal is that you feel like you can find a place for yourself or your family, or if you're there with your friends, anywhere on the site that you feel comfortable in.
Sure. It feels like you've covered everything. I mean, even for me, I'm a homebody. I'm going out to one of these, Nate, and I'm going to be able to experience it with my family. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's willing to take his kids to FanFest, but he's going to go to the big soccer games and leave them at home, you know.
You can only, there's only so much money to go around. You can't take, should have had less kids then.
We were talking about this before the air, what you spend money on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not much. By the way, I didn't spend money on it, just FYI.
No, he's getting tickets, you know. He's Benny Failhaber. He doesn't pay for tickets.
Who?
Well, and on that, with FIFA Fan Festival, I think it's like 95% of our tickets are free. So it's general. You do have to register. Folks got to get on and register so we can have you scan a QR code when you get in. That's how we know if you're there, so we can push out some messaging if we need to. But it is designed to be free and accessible. We have some opportunities to upgrade if you'd like, but we want folks to feel like they can bring their kids out and it wasn't, a mortgage payment on their house.
Right.
Yeah, my family and I sat down and we're looking at the website in terms of registering, and there are some affordable options too. I mean, it's not like it's either free or you got to spend a ton of money to get a premium. There are different levels to it. And we were looking at some of those as a possible option as a family. I will say this, we didn't decide specifically because one of the things you need to register for is which day you're going to go. How does that work? And can people register for multiple days? And how far out in advance do they probably need to make sure that they have those registrations?
If there are any days you know you want to go, you're a huge fan of a specific team or maybe one of the artists that are coming, we do recommend maybe checking out that premium garden pass. It's $55. It guarantees you entry. That way you don't have to be first in line or one of the first folks, because we are restricted capacity wise. We can hold 25,000 on the site. And so the first 25,000 get in, regardless of maybe when you've picked up your ticket. So that's one thing that's different with this registration. Right now, if you want to go to multiple days, you do have to register multiple times. Now, that doesn't mean you have to come. But if you're interested in a day, go ahead and register. That way we can let you know if we have any exciting entertainment announcements coming up, if we're adding something that day, you know what's happening, and you'll get notifications about our capacity. So if you want to get out there, you know when to get out there.
With the talent that you guys said, you're bringing musical artists, right? And yeah. I'm kind of curious, when I think, I might not be the ordinary fan that's going to come to these fests because I am extremely passionate about soccer. And so I'm mostly thinking about, hey, what game is it? You know, what's it going to be like? Am I going to be able to see the screen? All those kind of things. But for a lot of people that maybe haven't, that's not their number one sport, they want to come, they want to have a good time and experience. So how important is it and what kind of talent are coming to be a part of this?
Yeah, we've really designed this around the idea that we will have the soccer diehards, the football fans that are going to get there and they're going to want to press up a main stage, be in the heart of it.
Yep.
But a lot of our guests, the whole time we've been planning for our regional attendees, folks that live in Kansas City or around here or in one of our surrounding states, that just want to see what's going on. And so bringing a large entertainment platform was important to us. And that's where this balance of, I think you see here, you know, we've got seven headline acts that will be playing throughout, which hopefully draws some interest from some people who maybe didn't think that they'd want to come right, out. Yeah. But then they come out and maybe they catch the end of a match yeah. and kind of catch some of the fever and get excited about it. And then we're also using this, we have almost 40 local bands and DJs. This is a great chance to show off the diversity of music that we have here in the city and let people know, you know, we're a lot, while our jazz is fantastic and we want to show that off, we're more than just jazz. We've got really incredible genre of bands just ready to roll and show off.
I mean, that is such a truism about Kansas City. We're famous for barbecue and jazz, but the food scene in this town is incredible beyond the barbecue. There's so much to offer in this town that a lot of people don't maybe assume. And so it's going to be great to put that on display. And when you're talking about this, it makes me kind of think that fan festival is an appropriate term because it's not just a watch party. It's a festival. Mm-hmm. There's music. There's food. There's socializing. And you just said something that made me think about this when you said that a lot of the audience is going to be regional and local. How much is going to be people international? Like, or do we expect a lot of Dutch fans to be down there in and around their games? What are you expecting from that standpoint?
So far with our past registrations, we've seen registrations from 112 countries. So we are definitely seeing some international.
112 countries.
And can you tell which countries have the most?
Yes. Now, if you ask me right now, I can't tell you off the top of my head. Okay. But yeah, we can see where folks
are
coming from.
List all 112.
Yeah, ready, go. U.S. No. So we've got 112 countries. I think all 50 states have at least one registration from them. So we're still expecting a large international contingent. You know, we talk with the different team bases with the Netherlands about everything they're doing around the city, what they'll do at FanFest. We're going to host their big orange party on June 24th. They're bringing over four DJs that are really well known. I think that'll be really fun to show off their bands to our fans here in Kansas City. We're working with Carousel. They've got a DJ that's potentially going to come up. And I think that'll be really exciting. This is a small island nation that qualified for the first time. Mm-hmm. I think Kansas City can really relate a little bit to that underdog story and have some fun there. But Ecuador is working on an El Banderazo. And I apologize to all our Spanish speakers out there. I'm sure I just butchered that. But how do we host that at FanFest? And what does that look like to celebrate and teach some folks some of their chants? So we're really leaning into the countries that are coming here, knowing they'll bring some fan bases. But also, I think Kansas Cityans will be very excited about potentially adopting a team and learning their chants and their stories.
I mean, I played in South Africa in 2010, and I can tell you that I felt love from South Africans being on the U.S. team. So you definitely have fans from, you know, the countries that you're playing in that sometimes support a different nation altogether. And so Kansas City, I mean, there's obviously some big teams that are going to be here, right? The Netherlands, England, Argentina, and Algeria. And I could easily see some of these other teams that are coming in to play here. Mm-hmm. And that's phenomenal. I didn't know that there was going to be, you know, talented artists coming from the countries that might play here or stay here in Kansas City. And now I think Kansas Cityans will be able to take a part in other cultures, which is what, I mean, soccer and the World Cup specifically is so much about. So I love that aspect of it.
I mean, I could go on a rant, maybe I will, about this whole concept, though, because growing up in the Midwest, you know, a long trip to me, like an exotic trip to me, was a family car trip to Chicago. Nobody in my family had a passport growing up. I didn't get to meet people from other parts of the world. Living in Kansas City and in small town Kansas growing up, my mom had a foreign exchange student from Germany when I was in high school. And it was fascinating. You know, we would have all these conversations about how completely different her life was in some areas and how similar it was in others. And when I finally did get to travel internationally for the first time, it was like this mind-blowing experience. And that's the reason I asked about people coming to the Fan Fest. I have kids that are high school and middle school age now, and I'm telling them, if I were in your shoes, I would want to go down there and go to the Fan Fest because you might have a chance to make friends with people from all these other corners of the world mm-hmm. that would never otherwise have come to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And those could be friendships that open doors to you down the road in your life if you decide you want to travel internationally. But, you know, I just think that if I... I'm still excited about it at my age, but I'm saying for like a younger person or people that haven't had a chance to see a lot of the world, the world's going to be here and you have a chance to kind of co-mingle with all those people at the Fan Fest.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we'll see the teams that are here. We're seeing a lot of interest from folks whose teams aren't playing here, but because Kansas City is well positioned, we've got, we've really leaned into the FIFA Fan Festival. We're one of the only ones that's hosting a free one. So we're seeing fans from all over that are interested in being here. So not
all the other sites are doing a free fan festival.
No, actually, I would say most of them are not. So we're one of the last remaining ones that's still hosting a free one. And that's been a main focus ever since before I joined is, you know, how do we make sure this is accessible? How do we make sure it's something that everyone in our community can choose to participate in if they'd like to? And it's been really important to keep it free.
Yeah, look, I second everything that you said, Nate. I think it's something that's exciting. It's something that's extremely unique, right? And it's what we've talked about, I think, in previous episodes of this podcast, what the World Cup is beside the competition, right? The bringing together of people, cultures, someone that you would have never met before or never known about and known what their rituals are, their traditions. And I think everybody coming together for good, right? And so I'm excited about that. I think, I don't know if we want to get to this question yet, but in terms of, you know, almost post World Cup, kind of, I know we asked this to a lot of our guests, what do you see as like a success or what do you envision in terms of how Kansas Cityans will look back at the Fan Fest and the World Cup and how we hosted it and the people that they met and the new cultures that they learned and also the visitors to our city, what they see in Kansas City. And then yourselves that put this all together, you know, what kind of pride and are you hoping to kind of post World Cup think about and you know, what kind of memories I guess you'll see this as?
Yeah, we talk a lot as an organization at KC 2026 about how we want the headline to be how the smallest World Cup host city hosted the best experience. Mm-hmm. And that has been our focus from our transportation modeling, from what we're doing at FIFA Fan Fest, how we're trying to engage the entire community. We were talking a little bit earlier about all the different watch parties. Our transportation is designed to help folks get around the region and experience other parts because, Nate, just as you were talking about, you know, being in the Midwest growing up, you weren't traveling. Folks don't necessarily pick Kansas City out on a map when they're thinking I'm going to come to the U.S. Europe or Asia or Africa. And so this is a chance for them to come to somewhere they weren't expecting. And we want them to be so just incredibly surprised by the hospitality, but also the level of cuisine, like we were talking about, the great music here, the art scene, and then our passion. I think one of our themes is Sports Town USA, and we want to lean into that idea, you know, what it feels like to go to Sporting Stadium or a current game or at the Chiefs, how that excitement really bubbles up and that passion and how we can share that with the world and also learn a little bit about how they celebrate too.
Actually, I have a follow-up question with what you just said. I'm curious with that big space, and I know that there are other fan fests around the country or around the city. In terms of space and grass area, is there going to be spaces for, because I can guarantee you South Americans, Argentinians will want to bring a football, will want to bring a soccer ball, right? And want to play and kick the ball around during these fan fests. Will there be space for that, whether it's down at the World War One Memorial or potentially other ones as well?
Yeah, out at FIFA Fan Festival, we're going to have some spaces reserved for that kind of kicking around a ball. We'll also do some, we have Sporting hosting some clinics, so for kids and adults, so kind of some fun there if somebody wants to brush up on their football skills.
Yep.
But yeah, no, this is designed to really show off the heart of the game and how that brings folks together. So one of my dreams is, you know, watching folks in different jerseys play together, whether that's, you know, kicking the ball around, cheering on a team, all of that. That is what this is about, is how do we bring folks, you know, standing there in their Sporting KC jersey, Mitch with an Argentina jersey, and then a Ecuador jersey, all standing there
maybe
cheering.
Maybe a Mahomes jersey as well. I'd like to see some Americans bring maybe a football around and some Argentinians can be playing catch.
Oh, perfect.
I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be so fun. A football to football kind of thing.
I remember, you know, buddies of mine that went to the World Cup in Brazil, when they came back and I was asking them about what it was like, that's one of the things they said was, there's just people playing soccer everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, out on the beach, when you walk down the beach, there's just and random strangers getting involved and playing pickup games together, which just sings to my heart. I love that idea. And I like what you said also about the transportation of getting people out to other parts of the city as well, because and the collective metropolitan area, not just one side of the state line or the other, because one of the things that like in for Benny and me in our universe, working with people in the world of soccer that are from all over the world, when you talk to them about Kansas City, you're right. It's not front of mind. And when they come here, unless they have someone to kind of show them around or nudge them to the cool parts of the city, they're not obvious. They're not going to smack you in the face. Sometimes you kind of have to have somebody, but once somebody does show you around this town, you go, oh, wow, pretty cool. And it seems like that's a lot of the focus of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we're trying really hard to at least present the opportunity. You know, if we can get folks to take our transportation out to Lee Summit or over to Overland Park or up to the Northland. And then I think that's where the Kansas City hospitality mindset comes into play. Mm-hmm. If you see these folks out and about, talk to them. Yeah. I think they want to hear, you know, where's your favorite restaurant? What's the best place to watch the game today? Share a little bit about it and ask them questions too. Like, this is a great chance for us to show off. Exactly like you said, some of these hidden gems around the area that folks don't necessarily, you don't just stumble upon.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know from hosting some events that sometimes when you're in your position, when you're on the hosting side of things, you don't get the opportunity to actually celebrate the event, you know, and enjoy it. Will you get any time, or are you going to be behind the scenes the whole time, or will you get to actually come out to FanFest and take it in like a fan yourself at some point?
I will be there behind the scenes the whole time, but that is exactly what I signed up for and one of my favorite things. So every once in a while,
when I'm
getting a little stressed out, my husband reminds me, like, remember, this is what you wanted. I'm like, yeah. I know it is. And this is what's fun is about creating this environment and allowing folks to enjoy all the work that we've put into it. So,
okay. Now, and I want to say again, your title is not just Director of FanFest, Director of FanFest and Events. Other events outside of the FanFest that you're working on?
That really pertained more so to leading up to this. So we hosted a 1 year to go event last year. We've hosted some smaller events to kind of generate excitement and also bring some information along the way. So worked with Heartland Bottlers and Coca-Cola on the trophy tour a few weeks ago. I guess a few months ago. I don't remember anymore. But yeah, so that's really kind of where that comes in. We've really worked with the different regions, the different localities to allow them to host their own. We've given them some advice. We've helped them with some of the FIFA guidelines. There's always lots of rules and regulations. But one thing we've shared with them is bring what makes you special to it. Don't just throw a screen up, because then you're competing with every bar and restaurant home setup. Show off a little bit about what makes you special. And that's what'll be really fun this summer.
Maybe the last thing then on the conversation, what will make FanFest special compared to other cities? You already mentioned the fact that it's one of the only ones that's free, but maybe just in terms of the vibe, the atmosphere, whatever, what's going to make this one special in Kansas City?
I mean, ultimately, I do think it comes down to our people, and I think the celebration we'll have, but I hope some folks have seen the imagery. You know, we've got a giant 65-foot heart sculpture that you walk through, and that was intentional, you know, to do the heart KC shirts that everybody wears around town and limit into that. So it feels a little pride there, but also to show welcome to the rest of the world and the country and that we want them here. And so we hope that really resonates throughout. And then we have musicians that sing a variety of different languages. We've got obviously a little bit of variety with our headliners. So we want it to be something where it's like, like I said, you can always find a little bit of something for you. And so it's our chance to show off to the world about Kansas City. It's also our chance to show off soccer or football to Kansas City. Really build on the momentum that Sporting KC and the KC Current have started here and help keep that rolling.
Yeah, from everything I've heard, I think that it will be really unique. And what I've loved is not only the aspect, like you said, where we're welcoming other people, but we're also welcoming things that they will feel connected to, right? So like the talented musicians from Ecuador and from the Netherlands and so on and so forth. And then, like you said, hopefully also connecting the people of Kansas City that soccer maybe isn't their number one sport, how they can kind of build some passion for it and build the sport. Like you said, what Sporting Kansas City and the KC Current have done so well so far for this city. Can we augment that to another level?
I'm just looking at some of the shows here. You know, Chainsmokers on June 13th, Flo Rida June 19th.
Welcome to my house. Is that what he's going to say? Welcome to my house.
So you knew. Okay.
I know Flo Rida.
All right, good. I'm super excited. Tech Nine's going to play twice.
Yeah, he'll do two full sets, and then we've got him coming out a few times to do the Sonic ID as well. Since we're the only host city with lyrics in our Sonic ID, we gotta play that up a few times.
Got it.
Yeah, that I got
Tech Nine. He's always Kansas City through and through. He was there, for our MLS Cup, I think, in 2013.
Sure, so. Yep. He's been on stage at watch parties for the Super Bowl, all that stuff. He represents Kansas City incredibly well. And I think he's going to be just wrapping up his tour when he comes back,
coming back off of it as well.
So that's going to be amazing. Thank you so much for the time.
Well, I was going to say one thing that you're probably looking at this lineup that I just want to head home for the listeners that we're just announcing is Sheryl Crow is going to be added to our headline list as well. So
you know,
she'll be
there. She's a local celebrity.
She's from Kansas City.
She's from Missouri.
I did not know that. Is she singing some country or is she singing her, I want to say she had the song of the year in 1994.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen her set list yet, but I'll let you know.
Have some fun. All I want to do is have
some
fun. I don't know the name of the song.
Song of the year, 1994.
It's a famous song.
I can't imagine she would skip that one, but we'll make sure.
Yeah. Well, Mallory, this is all great stuff, and I know how busy you are. I'm glad you're excited, and we are excited, too. FanFest is going to be amazing. Thanks for everything you're doing for the city right now as well.
Yeah, no, I've appreciated everything. As excited as the city is, it's been really fun to bring this to life for Kansas City and to hear from everyone about what they're doing and how we can help elevate it too. So,
make sure you go to the KC 2026 website, register. 95% of the tickets are free.
Yep.
And just make sure you sign up and come down and celebrate with us. We're going to continue with our five aside here on the Heart and Goal podcast right after this. Kansas City, if you're loving the energy around the world's game this summer, keep it going with Sporting Kansas City. Get 10 Sporting KC home games for the price of 5 with the back half bundle and experience Kansas City soccer energy at Sporting Park all fall long. Lock in your seats now at sportingkc.com. All right, it's time for our five aside now. Again, our thanks to Mallory Cage for joining us, giving us all of the information about FanFest, how you get signed up, what you have to offer. And there are a lot of music acts, Benny, from start to finish, some, you know, big national headliners, some local bands and all that. So the five aside today are the five musical acts that you want to see most at FanFest out of those that will be performing.
Okay.
Can you handle it?
Well, I'm going to preface it with this. There are some things that I'm looking forward to seeing that people that I don't know,
right.
artists that I don't know, maybe from different countries.
That's kind of the fun of it,
exactly.
right? Yeah, I'm
like
going to explore some new music.
It's like sometimes I remember back in high school, you'd go to a concert of a band that you liked, but somebody else would open for them that is a nobody band.
At the time.
Yeah. And then you'd get to know them, like, oh my God, I kind of like this band. Yeah. And I remember back then, it was like you'd be downloading on Napster and all this kind of stuff. And maybe I'll do some of that with some of these bands.
Oh, that's happened at a lot of concerts for me where I went to see somebody else. And then the opening act turned out to be one of my favorite bands of all time type of thing. So I'm with you on that. Okay, well, let's go. And I'm going to let you go first. You get the number one pick in the draft here.
I'm going to go with All-American Rejects. I was all about punk songs down in my high school days. And so All-American Rejects, I like pretty much all their songs, at least all their big songs. So Swing Swing, Move Along.
Hope It Gives You Hell. That's
Hope
them,
It Gives
right?
You Hell.
Yeah, I like that one.
Dirty Little Secret.
That's a breakup song, like, you know, the Hope It Gives You Hell one. I like that.
Well,
one.
You sometimes most songs are either about love or breaking up, right?
Emotions. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with All American Rejects at my number one pick.
Easy number one pick for me is the guy from Kansas City, one of my favorite rappers of all time. Tech Nine, he's coming twice. Can I pick him twice?
You can. You can pick him
twice. I can pick Tech Nine on June 12th and July 11th if I want to. I'm not going to do that, although I would, Tech, for you. The most street cred I've ever gotten with my teenage son in my life was when he found out that Tech and I were on a first-name basis.
Really? Nathaniel.
And yeah.
Did he call you Nathaniel?
No, actually, I shouldn't say first name because he called me Bukati. So
second what are you,
name
so you're basis. Lying.
Yeah, I'm lying. Second name basis. He knows my last name, and that's good enough for me, all right? And he's awesome. Tech Nine is my pick. And then I get a second pick here coming back the other way. I'm giving a shout out to a guy I've gotten to know over a long period of time. I think one of the best DJs in the country. And plays all kinds of big events here in town, DJ Ashton Martin. He has DJed many World Cup watch parties in the Power and Light District, going back to 2014 when we did it. He's local, but he travels all over the country now and stuff too.
Does he drive an Aston Martin?
That's a great question. I've never asked him that, but he's going to be my number two pick. Okay. I'm going with the local guys.
Two local guys. Yeah, well done. Okay, I'm going to go with not a local guy, but I don't know a lot of people on the list, I'll be honest. So I'm going to go early in my draft with people that I know. And so I'm going to go with Welcome to My House, Flo Rida. Yeah. He's got a couple of them. He's got boots on the fur on the boots. Was it? Is that what it was? Do you remember?
I don't remember you that, don't but remember I do remember
that
the
one?
Song.
Oh, my God. That song was big back in the day. I think I was maybe in college back then, 08, 09. Flo Rida is my number two pick. Excited to hear him get everybody pumped for the World Cup and the games. And so that'll be on June 19th. Looking forward to that one. And now I got to go with my number three. My number three, I'm going to go with Sheryl Crow. I did not know she was coming. Yeah.
She's not even on the list.
She is not in the list. We learned today on the podcast that she is going to be here. So Sheryl Crow, I'm excited to hear her famous 1994 song. Like you said, how did it go again? Down Santa Monica Boulevard, right?
I just remember that all I want to do is have some fun. She also
Want to have some fun?
Yeah. Leaving Las Vegas, good one. I like that song. Remember that one?
I don't know if I know that one.
That's a really good song by her. I Can't Cry Anymore. Remember that one?
I think so. I remember when she played First Cut is the Deepest, or The Last Cut
that
is the
one
Deepest.
Too, yeah.
Is it first or last?
First Cut.
It's a Rod Stewart song.
First Cut.
First Cut is the Deepest.
I think so.
So okay, that's my third pick. I'll go with Sheryl Crow.
Okay. Now I'm on. It's my third pick now. I'm looking at the list here. I'm going heavy local right here. I'm going Lost Wax because that's a local band that I've seen. I mean, they play some of the biggest events in Kansas City. It's a big group. They play a huge playlist of songs that I love, songs that you can dance to. They played the NFL draft on stage.
Are you a big dancer?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You'll be dancing.
What kind of music is it? I was a big dancer. I dance a little more slowly now than I used to.
What kind of music is it?
They're going to give you some good funk music, you know, okay. Like some 80s and 90s, yeah, like, you know, Kool and the Gang. And, okay. And,
I could dance to that.
Know, yeah, all kinds of, like, they it's good party music. It's like, it's... picture like at, you know, a wedding reception when they want everybody on the dance floor. That's the kind of stuff
I'll be there.
It's hard to keep me off the dance floor, buddy. So
all right. I like that pick. That was number three.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm gonna go number four. I'm gonna go with a group that I'm just kind of discovering. Me Like Bees.
We listened to a little bit of it.
It's not just because I love Matt Beasler, but they've kind of got a fun. I would say alt rock type, you know, sound to them.
I felt like they sound a little like Owl City.
Okay.
I'm a big Owl City fan.
Yeah.
And I wish that maybe they're going to come up at some point and sneak on, kind of like Sheryl Crow did. But
yeah.
Or they'd be on my lineup. But yeah, I like the way they sounded. Me Like Bees.
And then you get number four and five.
Okay.
Here now.
Look, I'm going to go with the headliner, the main headliner, and that's Chainsmokers. I know a few of their songs. I am a fan of some of their work, but my family, my kids, and my wife, I think they all like them. So it's one for the families. I don't have to be going to every single concert and show and performance because of my liking. I'm a family man. So Chainsmokers, I think, will be a great one for a lot of people. And I'm sure that a lot of Kansas Cityans and people coming to visit in Kansas City will enjoy watching the Chainsmokers live on June 13th. So that's my fourth pick.
So I'm looking, man, there's a lot of really interesting DJs that are going to be playing.
I still got to pick my fifth. I don't know what you're doing.
Go ahead.
Are you trying to like steal my...
Sorry. No, I forgot. You get number five.
Although I really have no idea who I'm going to pick as number five. I think I'm going to... My number five, I'll be honest, I'm going to go with a cool name that I just don't know anything about. You know, like when you go to the Kentucky Derby and you make a bet on a horse that you don't have any idea and sometimes, you know, you're lucky and you win. So I'm going to go with... DJ Scheme with From Africa with Love.
Man, you stole. That was actually going to be. I'm assuming there's
Afro.
Isn't
From Africa with Love? Isn't that a movie? Or am I saying that? Or is it like a play on words with the movie. There's a movie called
There's, there's a James Bond movie somewhere with love. Thank you. It's not Africa. I thought it
was James Bond that I was thinking of.
Well, I'm wondering if there's some Afrobeats involved, because I love Afrobeats. That's a genre of music that I've been exploring a lot lately, and I like it. So I was thinking about going with them. I'm gonna do a DJ as well that I don't know. And I just like the name. I'm going DJ Skittles.
Oh, it sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love a Skittle. You know?
I'm not a Skittle fan, but...
No?
No, I don't eat candy.
You don't eat candy?
Chocolate, yes.
This guy.
Cookies and ice cream, yes. No candy, thank you very much.
No, what
DJ
does that mean?
Skittles sounds cool. It's like, oh, yeah. There's going to be some vibe there.
This guy.
It's going to be colorful.
I don't drink
Taste
soda.
The rainbow.
I don't eat candy.
Yeah, sorry I'm healthy.
So lame. All right, those are our five asides. You take a look at the lineup and weigh in and see if I picked the better one, I did, or Benny. But the bigger thing is take a look at all the shows and the acts that are becoming to FanFest KC 2026. For Benny Failhaber, Mallory Cage joining us today as well, and our entire setup and crew that does a great job putting this show together. This is Nate Buchady saying thanks for watching The Heart and Goal and listening to The Heart and Goal Show. Wherever you get your podcast, please like, subscribe, write a review, and help us get the word out, because we are just days, I mean mere weeks away from the World Cup coming to Kansas City. We'll see you next time.